ML Nation, episode 191.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
If you want to be successful, you just have to copy what MLM leaders do. Welcome to MLM Nation, presented by your host, Simon Chaz. Where you'll learn strategies, secrets, and inspiring stories from today's top MLM income earners.
If you like ML Nation, you love Networking Times. Networking Times is an online and print publication that features great trainings from top leaders. Check it out at mlnation.net/times. mlnation.net/times. ML Nation, this is Simon Chan, and I am fired up to bring our special guest today, Carrie Dickey. Carrie, are you ready to make it happen?
Absolutely. I'm ready, Simon. Let's go.
When Carrie Dickey graduated from college from the University of Colorado and with a degree in advertising, all she knew what she wanted to do was what she didn't want to do in life. Then she found MLM in 1993 and immediately wanted to be a top 1%er. Combine that with the intense desire to elevate the profession that we're marketing, Carrie was able to use the nooks and crannies of her life and build a multi-million dollar network marketing business while being a mother of two boys. Carrie recently also published her first book, Network Marketing, The View from Venus. So Carrie, I've given ML Nation just a brief intro, but please share more about your background and how you came across network marketing.
Thank you, Simon. Wow, you did your homework. I appreciate that. You know, as you said, I graduated from the University of Colorado with a degree in advertising, and all I ever knew was what I did not want to do. I didn't know what I did want to do. And I never had any of those on-campus interviews, and I knew I didn't want to be an airline stewardess or a flight attendant or a pilot or, work in an office. I did not want to wear pantyhose. I knew that, and I didn't want a boss. But nothing was clearly defined for me. So I sold education. Actually, I was a fitness instructor and a personal trainer all the way through college. I was a bartender and a waitress. And I always worked for everything I had. When I graduated, I was hoping I would know exactly where to go, but I didn't. So I continued to do that. Finally, somewhere along the way, I decided if I don't get out of Boulder, Colorado, I am never, ever going to make a change. So I moved out to California by myself and went to my first restaurant, first bar, and got a job teaching fitness until I got the cosmic boot. And I pulled a quad muscle, and I was unable to wait tables. I was unable to jump. In fact, I couldn't even walk. I went to the classifieds, looked in there to find out my next career move, and I saw an ad that said, "Do you like children? Do you like to read?" Well, I love kids and I love to read, so I followed the ad along with 34 other people. We were pretty much hired on the spot. And I was a tiny bit disappointed thinking that I was unique because I was hired, but I didn't care, Simon, because I was broke and I couldn't walk and I needed money. So I became a book sales girl, a door-to-door salesperson. And again, during that time, I listened to people like Napoleon Hill and Zig Ziglar and Dennis Waitley. And I heard that 80% of the people do 20% of the work and 20 do 80. And then I heard about the 1%ers and I burned to be a 1%er. I yearned to be one and I knew I could be, but I knew I wasn't one yet. Well, I sold educational materials for 8 months. It turned out to be quite a sham. I was really asking people for a lot of money, and I really never knew what I was selling because I was selling just from posters. But what I learned was how to connect with people, how to meet their needs, how to ask the right questions, and I became fearless. You know, I went door to door to door to door. So finally, I married my husband, which was a blessing because we could at least share bills. Never, ever did I assume that I would, you know, not earn money. And in 1993, after being married for a short amount of time, or a few years, someone showed up at the door looking for Gordon, my husband. And I said, "Well, he's not here right now. You know, can I help you?" And he said, "Well, I was going to show him my business." And I said, "Well, why don't you show me your business?" And he came in, talked a little bit about some vitamins, and I was massively into health and wellness. And I said, are you kidding me? You know, someone sells a vitamin in Kentucky and I get paid? He said, Carrie, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And I said, well, sign me up. My husband got home an hour later. I said, honey, we have a new business. And that's how I found network marketing.
Hey, I want to backtrack a little bit. You said you were a fitness trainer, a bartender, and a waitress all at the same time.
All at the same time. I did whatever it took to pay the bills.
So you were helping people healthy, and then at night you were making people unhealthy.
That's pretty much right.
I was laughing when you said that. You're being a trainer, and you're helping people lose weight and then gain the weight back at night. So you have a recurring business. How did you listen to I think one thing that impressed me was you listened to personal development while you're doing the door-to-door sales. Is it because of the company you got exposed to that? Or how did you know about like Dennis Waitley and things like that?
You know, it's a great question. I had a manager, you know, that was in charge of book sales, and he brought in the 34 people. And he would sit us around, teach us something, and then sit us around in a horseshoe. And I remember, honestly, Simon, exactly where I would sit and absorb this information. And believe it or not, I'm 54 years old. This is a while ago. And it was audio tapes. And he'd put in these audio tapes. And I think a lot of people were sleeping and snoozing and spacing out and talking to one another or reading. And I was absolutely mesmerized. I mean, I could not get enough of Jim Rohn, and I could not get enough of Zig Ziglar. And I listened to people like Tommy Hopkins. You know, I never see failure as failure, but only as the opportunity to practice my technique and perfect my performance. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. And I don't know. I don't know if one percenters are born or they're made, but I feel like it was inside me. And then, of course, I had great role models in my parents. But I was fascinated by all of this, and it's never, ever stopped. I'm a true seeker. And I think sometimes, you know, maybe you're just born that way with a burning desire to know more.
By the way, I love your passion and your excitement. You're getting me fired up just talking to you.
I don't have any shortage of passion, enthusiasm, and conviction.
Nor energy, I'll say.
No, I'm a lucky girl. I feel blessed every single day.
Hey, so you joined that vitamin deal. What was Gordon, your husband's reaction? And then number two is, did you have success right away? What happened afterwards?
Success. Success eluded me for many years. No, my husband sort of, you know, you don't tell me what to do. That's one of the reasons I've been with the man for 27 years is he understands I'm a bird, and you don't try to put a bird in a cage. So, I think he said, honey, have fun with that. Do whatever you want to do. But success, no, I didn't have any for many, many years. My friend Charisse Matthews and I would literally go to the airport here in Orange County, California, and we would go to South Coast Plaza, the mall, and no lie, we would look for good-looking businessmen like you. I'm not kidding. Young professionals, we would say, excuse me, sir, would you consider yourself to be an open-minded business person? And he would say, well, absolutely. They never said no. And we said, well, we are in the business of expanding. We're in the process of expanding our international business from $50 million to $200, $500 million, and eventually $1 billion over the next 5 years. And we're looking for entrepreneurs that want to help us do that. Can we get your phone number? We'd like to find a time to meet with you personally and tell you what we're doing. And it was pretty funny. She was 21. I was 31. And literally, these people wanted to either invest with us because we were cute and we were enthusiastic, or they wanted to date us, but nobody wanted to work. So honestly, we would celebrate when we would sell one of our products and make a $13 commission. And I can tell you, though, I became even more fearless doing that job. And I think what's unique and funny at this time, at this juncture and vantage point in my life, is that I never, ever talked to women. It was only men. I thought it was going to be a man that would get me where I wanted to go. I thought it would be a man that would discover me. I did not think that women were powerful and that women had the connections to get me where I wanted to go, which I think is pretty amusing today.
Yes, especially you just recently spoke at the Most Powerful Woman in Network Marketing event.
That's exactly right. And most of my team is women, strong, powerful women that once did not know they had any personal power at all.
So how did you become more fearless? I think because most people will be like intimidated. I mean, they get the rejection, but you, it seems like through all those rejections, you got stronger and stronger. So what's the self-talk? What's the, like, the mental blueprint? That, I think most distributors who are listening to this, I'm missing that. What was going on in your mind that allowed you to be stronger and stronger?
Well, I think there is a lot to say for if it's going to be, it's up to me. My parents did not really set the stage for me going back home. And it was just something that I would never, ever have done. I went to college, you know, in Boulder. And when I left the house, I figured, you know what, this is my time to fly. And I am not going backwards. And I remember people would ask me, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? And it was a very, very stress producing question. What I want to say to young people today, and I do say it, is listen, 20 to 30 is all about figuring out who you are and what you're going to do. And honestly, if you get to be 30 and you still don't know, it's okay. Fail forward. And that's what I did. I absolutely made a mistake and picked myself back up and made a mistake and picked myself back up. And I would say, unfortunately, probably fear propelled me forward of not being able to eat. I remember a time I was in Ross Dress for Less, and I thought, am I ever, I saw a blouse for $32 that I really, really wanted, Simon, and I was probably in my very early 30s. And I thought, am I ever going to be able to afford, no, I guess I was in my late 20s, it was before I was married, will I ever, ever, ever be able to afford a blouse like this? I was wearing the same clothes that I got from Casual Corner. I think I got four suits there, and I was on credit, and I was paying them back, and I just remember being very, 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 very broke. I ate a half a tuna fish sandwich every day and drank a carton of milk I got from 7-Eleven for literally at least a year. I remember doing that. And, you know, I don't know what propelled me forward. Like I said, maybe it was something that was innate, but I've always subscribed to the philosophy, fake it till you make it. Just fail forward and just try to do what people do what the leaders tell you to do. And I've done Bikram yoga for 15 years, and I remember Bikram says, try the right way. Try the right way and you cannot fail. So I've always tried the right way. I've always done my best to listen and to execute in spite of the fear.
That was really good. Very inspiring. You ate half a tuna sandwich and drank a carton of milk, right? So you were full-time? You immediately went full-time in the business because you had, you know, you said you pulled your muscle, you couldn't work, and you got into this business? Or did you do the business part-time?
Well, when I first started in network marketing in 1993, I was married. So I had already done some full-time businesses, married my husband. Then I started building a temporary help business, built a fundraising business with my mom right when we got married. But it was 1993 that network marketing popped in. And, you know, I tried to do it full-time. But I can tell you, Simon, in my opinion, doing network marketing full-time in the beginning isn't that easy because you're literally going to be on the phone or out there walking and talking all day, every day. So I did it, you know, I did it as I was building the fundraising business with my mom. But I will tell you that, you know, if I had to start again today, it would be so much easier because I would know what I was looking for. I mean, you're looking for people that have a spring in their step. When you ask, do you love what you're doing? And they say, absolutely, I love it. You know, a lot of people get put off by that comment, but I would say, well, if you love this, then you can love something else. So I never let that put me off. And I just believe that you're looking for someone specific. You're looking for energy. You know, energy runs 10 feet in front of you and 10 feet to the sides of you and 10 feet behind you. And I would know today exactly what I was looking for. And I would make probably 20, 30 contacts a day and follow up on those contacts and look for someone who is at now o'clock. You know, my friend Marcy Steiner says now o'clock, and it means a lot because it's not always the right time for people.
I'm taking some notes down. Really good. You said, I like this. You said, if you love this, you can love something else. That's
absolutely
good. Look for the now o'clock. So what was the turning point? I mean, you were going after these gentlemen and dressed nicely. So what was the turning point or the aha moment that you had, and then afterwards your business really started taking off, your earning, and you became like the superstar you are today?
Well, you know, my journey's been a long one, Simon. I mean, I remember speaking at an event recently, and I said, you guys, it took me 23 years to get where I am today, and you don't have to go that long. But I did not have confidence. I was a very, very shy child. I was a very, very shy teenager. I was a very, very shy young adult and mother. And I was a very, very shy introverted network marketer, believe it or not. I was an introvert with extroverted characteristics. And I was, my first company, I realized I was a little bit too late. The fireworks had already gone off at my company. I went back to fundraising for a while, started with a company in 2005 that was home decor. I saw somebody decorating this beautiful farmhouse basket. I said, how in the heck are you doing that? I don't have a decorating bone in my body. I want to give that a try. And I said, I'd like to have a party for you. Do you have a catalog? In fact, I want to be the distributor. I want to be the consultant. Can I have a party for you? And so I did that company for a couple of years. And like I said, home decor wasn't it for me, but I really loved inspiring and training and teaching women. So I opened up my house and I said, look, come to my house every Thursday morning. Who are you? Where are you from? Why are you excited about what we're doing? And then I literally would make up some training. I had had great success. So I was just making training up some kind of flyer. And for an hour, I would train, pass it out, send them home, and say, come back next week and bring people. Well, after I did that for a couple of years and became quite the leader, I still didn't know I was a leader. I still was looking for the leader, trying to plug in everywhere. I don't know if you remember that book, Who's My Mother? But I was like, are you my mother? Are you my mother? Where's my mother? Are you my mother? And I was like, are you the leader? Who's the leader? Where's the leader? I'm looking for the leader. And in spite of myself, I was becoming the leader. And then I met with a leader one day when I finally got her attention after a couple of years. And I said, girl, I heard a scary rumor last night that you were making $72,000 a year. And that's not exactly what I was looking for. I mean, I've heard about really big incomes in network marketing. So she said, you know what, that's true. I'm making $72,000 a year. Carrie, you are not a direct seller, girl. You're a network marketer. And I said, well, what in the heck does that mean? And I cried all the way home. I was so frustrated. I thought, here, I've beat my head against the wall for 2 years, and I'm not even at the bottom of the right ladder. Well, finally in 2008, someone brought me a bottle of juice, and I became so excited about this product. It was like someone plugged me into the wall. I felt powerful. I felt strong. I'd been doing Bikram yoga for years, sweating out the good, bad, and the ugly. Now that's when I had success, and that's when I was in the right place at the right time with the right company. And I screamed to that top of that company in 1 year and 5 days. I had 30,000 people in my organization. And then, Simon, a year and a half later, it completely fell apart. And I was sitting there having made $1 million in 08, and that was the turning point for me. I mean, I felt like the biggest loser. I felt like not only was I responsible for the demise of my business, but I was responsible for the decline of the entire company. And that's when I turned within and did a bunch of inner work. I had to literally uncover the dark parts inside of me, the scared little girl who never felt good enough, who never felt powerful, who never felt like she knew exactly what to do. I had to dig deep and really do some shadow work and read people like Marianne Williamson and Wayne Dyer and Carolyn Mace. I started doing inner work, and that's when I really came out a whole different gal to find the company where I had my big success that I joined in 2010.
So what were some of the things that you had to dig up, if you don't mind sharing, like in the work, there was like demons or stuff that held you back?
You know, I'm glad you're asking. That is the reason why I do this every single day. That is the reason why I still keep going, because I drive a Mazda, Simon. I am not, I'm not like a lot of networkers where I'm always looking for the next car, the next house. My husband's 10 years older than me. We're very, very conscientious with our money, and we like to give a lot back. So, I don't want a better car because I don't want anyone to ding it in the Trader Joe's parking lot. I don't want to have to worry about it getting ripped off. I don't want to have to worry about crashing it. You know, I'm just a very, very simple girl. And what I found out is that I did not know I thought everyone was a one percenter. In fact, you know, I've written a book called Network Marketing, The View from Venus, which means the view from the, you know, it's not about sharing the business or sharing the product. It's about sharing who you are and what this industry has given you and building from a place of love. And I didn't have self-love. I did not love myself. So I was always looking for my greatness in everybody else's eyes. I was letting other people define me as a young person, as a person in my 30s and my 40s. It wasn't till almost 50 years old. And what I started to look at was some of the tribal beliefs that I got from my family. You know, some of the tribal beliefs, like, let me just give you an example. You know, my husband is my adversary. He is not my friend because my mom and dad were adversaries. My aunts and uncles were adversaries. My grandparents were adversaries. So certainly Gordon is not on my page. So if I say up, if he says up, I've got to say down. If he says over, I've got to say under. Well, how on earth are you going to be happily married when you're running your life like that? And, you know, so I was deeply pretty unhappy in my marriage, thinking that it was him when indeed it was me. I would criticize others, you know, look out at others and say, well, that one is, too concerned about what other people are thinking about her. And I did. I let other people define me. So when I was started to be critical of others, I realized that was shadow work. And I needed to turn that around and ask myself, how does that pertain to me? Because if you're looking at someone and thinking there's a problem with them, the problem is truly with you. If you are trying to get this, be the center of attention and trying to get attention, the problem is not, or if you're criticizing someone for that, that's actually you. Anyway, I started to do that shadow work, and I started to, Marianne Williamson is just an amazing mentor of mine, and she said our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And when I heard that, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I'm afraid of my light. Maybe I'm afraid to shine. Maybe I'm afraid to be great. Maybe I'm so terrified of what that's going to mean for me. And so when I started to look deeper and I got a life coach and she picked up, you know, the proverbial mirror and put it in front of me and said, do you see the beautiful woman in that mirror? And I said, I absolutely do not. And she said, well, you know what, sister, I do. And I'm going to sit here with you until you do. And that's what I do for others today, Simon. I take people that are insecure. I take people that don't believe that they are fantastic and here for greatness. And I shine the light on them and say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to see it for you until you can see it for yourself. And that's why I do this business today.
Thank you for sharing. Very inspiring. You had talked about your book, The View from Venus. Can you share a little bit more about why you wrote that book, and more in detail, and what the book is about?
Well, I'll tell you why I wrote it. I wrote it because every time I get up to train, teach, or motivate, I get 30 minutes, I get 20 minutes, I get 45 minutes, and people always want more. I work extremely hard about never saying the same thing twice. I feel like this gift has literally set me free. It's allowed me to be home and raise my children and retire my husband, and it's allowed me, network marketing has given me to me. It's absolutely helped me to step into my personal power. So I wrote the book because people are constantly asking, can I sit down with you? Can we have a cup of coffee? Can I go over my goals? Can I help? Will you help me write my 2-minute story? That's one of my specialties, is teaching people that, you know, if it's not necessary to say it, then it's necessary not to say it. Like, you don't want to bore people. So you have to get to the nuts and bolts quickly. You have to find out. People are sitting before you in WIFA mode. What's in it for me? And if you don't answer that question, they're gone. So I have a lot of clarity about this industry after 25 or 23 years, especially failing miserably. I have a lot of wisdom in this arena, and I have a lot of life wisdom at 54 years old, making a lot of mistakes, having challenging times with my children, challenging times in my own life. So I wanted to write until I was done writing. If I was talking about the opportunity meeting, I wanted to talk about, how does the opportunity meeting happen? What do you do to get ready for it? How do you run it? How long should it be? When should it end? What should you share? How do you make it super effective? How do you eliminate distractions? When I talked about how do you recruit, how do you talk to people? How do you meet people in your cold market, your warm market? How do you make people aware that their hot market is going to burn them, that your family members will not get it for the most part? I wanted to help people to avoid the pitfalls that I fell into. I made so many mistakes, and I wanted to help people to avoid those. You know, people want to do the booth, or they want to do the, you know, they want to do the church bazaar. I'm like, you guys, if you're not the person, if you're just making people aware of your products and your opportunity, but you're not getting them to sign on the dotted line, you're spinning your wheels. Let me tell you how to do that. So my book is The Nuts and Bolts, The Mechanics. How do you do it from day one? How do you even know you want to do it? My dad read my book and he said, Carrie, people should read this book and get to page 65 and decide if it's something they even want to do. I tell the truth about what it takes. I tell the truth about what you're going to encounter. I tell the truth about all the things that people are going to say to you and how do you prepare for those responses. But the biggest thing I do, Simon, in this book is I tell people how to build their business from a place of joy, peace, grace, gratitude, and forgiveness. And how do you step outside yourself and recognize that it's never, ever, ever about you. It's always about the person sitting in front of you. If you can make a friend and find their pain, make a friend and listen to them and ask the right questions and follow those questions with more questions, you're going to get so much ammunition that you're going to know exactly how to bait the hook to suit the fish. As Dale Carnegie says, we are winning friends and influencing people, and I'm not even sure I like that title. I like to bait the hook to suit the fish. If you're fishing at the end of the San Clemente Pier, you do not use Oreo cookies. They like worms and pieces of other fish, right? Conversely, if you're trying to get your kids to listen to you, you're probably going to have more luck getting an ice cream cone and walking down the street together. Then they're going to listen. So we bait the hook to suit the fish, make a friend, find their pain, and only then do we know what they want and we can meet their needs and see how we might serve them in the great profession of network marketing. I know I kind of got on a soapbox.
No, there. You're good. I love that hook. Can you repeat that? You bait the hook to suit the fish?
Bait the hook to suit the fish.
I like that.
If someone is in pain and they're ill, they're probably not caring too much about money. Conversely, if they're broke and you're trying to sell them your products, then you are not thinking about them. It's all about you and trying to make a sale. We are never, ever trying to get one in network marketing, ever. If you are trying to get one, you are missing the mark. We are never trying to get one. We are always just trying to meet people's needs and help them to achieve their dreams, not yours.
It's good stuff. Hey, I want to take your advice about the ice cream with my boys. So that is boys don't listen to you, I'm going to get them ice cream and see how it works out.
Well, here's how you do with your kids. Boys don't like to sit around and look face to face, especially with their mothers, and talk. But if you can get them on rollerblades and be rollerblading and ask them a question. I mean, I used to ask my sons, buddy, was there anything that you learned about in health class that confused you or interested you? They would tell me anything, Simon. Or boys love to talk when they're driving in the car, because they're achieving something. They're moving in a direction. If you take your boys out and get them a meal, they're more likely to talk to you than if you say, hey, buddy, sit on this couch face to face. Let's talk about the birds and the bees. That's not going to work very well. They need to be in action. So I hope that helps you.
That does. Totally. I can, when you said that, I can totally see myself. Yes, you're right. I don't like face to face talks.
No.
Yeah. Hey, you had mentioned the 2-minute story. People, and I think that's so true. I think a lot of distributors talk way, way too much. And
yes,
you're thinking about them. So what tips can you give for like a 2-minute story?
Do
you have a framework, a break? Yeah. What tips can you share?
Sure do. Now, I get to major, major detail in my book. But what I will say is that people spend too much time on their personal story. The story has to connect with people, and it has to encourage that. It has to promote an inner dialogue with the person sitting across from you. It has to initiate an inner dialogue. So when you say something like, gosh, you know, I'm so excited you're here tonight. Thank you for being here. Always thank people for their time. Thank you for sitting down with me. Always ask people, how much time do we have together? Is it 45 minutes? Is it 20 minutes? Because it's going to be different. And then depending on, I mean, if it's a man, my story is going to be very, very brief because guys are all about results. What's in it for me? And everybody's sitting before you in WIFM mode. Again, what's in it for me? So you'll say something that has common themes. You know, I'm so excited you're here with me tonight. I want to tell you my story. You know, one thing I could tell you is I was always broke. There was too much month at the end of my money. People can relate to that. Or, oh my gosh, I've had a boss for 20 years and it was so difficult reporting to someone else. Or talk about the fact that I could never, ever take the vacation. I was always working when other people were playing. That's how it felt when I was waiting tables, when I was teaching fitness. I was always people, real estate agents. Oh my gosh, I know exactly how to talk to them. Or a manager of a restaurant. They're always, always working when other people are playing. So it's important to know what they do so you can bait the hook to suit the fish. You are telling your story in a way that is going to put the person in front of you in pain. So it's where are you, know, who are you, where were you before, how did you find the great profession of network marketing, what has it given you or is it giving you today? You don't have to be successful. I think people think that it's so much easier when you're making the big pot of money. I will tell you, it hasn't gotten any easier for me now than it was in the beginning. It's not about you. It's about the person sitting in front of you. They're either at the right time in their life, now o'clock, or they're not. You are sifting and sorting. So your company, your story is just, who are you? What, you know, what were you doing before you came upon the profession of network marketing? How did you come upon it? What about it grabbed your attention? What hope is it giving you today? And move on. And it should be no more than 2 minutes long. You should do it with a friend. And remember, when you write this out, first you're going to write it all out and it's probably going to be way too long. Then you are going to cut it down and you're going to ask others to help you cut it down. Your story is the most important tool in your toolbox in network marketing. Your story has the power to persuade people to listen to you or the power to push them away. Your personal story is the most important thing you have. So you need to hone it. You need to perfect it. And if you can't spit it out in literally 2 minutes right off the top, then you are not a network marketing professional.
That is awesome advice, and I'm going to do a little recap. ML Nation, I'm going to do a little recap for this really good steps that Carrie Dickey just shared with us. And to learn more, check out her book, Network Marketing, The View from Venus. And we will include that link to the so you can get that book on the show notes page. Okay, go to mlnation.net. Literally just put in Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, and on the show notes page, the link to the book will be there. Carrie, it's been really awesome. Just moving on, a couple more questions. What would you consider to be your proudest moment in network marketing?
Well, for me, it's never about me. I would say that my proudest moments in network marketing are when I see my teammates up on the stage delivering a talk that they have been absolutely terrified to deliver. That is my most fun moments. Those are the moments that you can capture me with tears running down my face. I'm so excited. My own personal proud moment, when I made the top of my first, you know, my company in 2008, after 1 year and 5 days, I cried. I could barely stand up. I think if I had to watch that right now, it would probably be excruciating. I couldn't hold it, Simon. I hadn't done enough inner work and I couldn't hang on to that success because your business will never be bigger than you are. And I wasn't big enough to hold that business. So my second run to the top of my current company, I did it 4 years ago. I reached the top of the company in 22 months. And standing up there and being able to smile and be gracious and be grateful and feel proud and worthy of that title, that was probably my proudest moment, but it pales in comparison to watching my team achieve their greatness. And that may sound hokey. Read my book and you will know that every single word of that is true.
What excites you most about network marketing now? And I guess let me ask you before that. It's like you've been in you have so much experience for 23 years. How have you seen the industry change? And do you see people more open to network marketing now than back in 1993?
That's a great question. I wish I saw more change, but I do believe that it is going to be exponential going forward. And the reason is because corporate America is not what it used to be. It is shrinking. It is a joke. And franchising is not what it appears to be. And I think people are on to that. People are more desperate in our world than ever before. So much work is being outsourced to other countries. And people are more desperate than they've ever been. And they are starting to open their minds to our great profession of network marketing. But what I say about I've not seen it change quickly enough, and that is why I'm so passionate about my book, is that I would like to see a bigger shift in our industry. And I really, really believe it's happening. When, first of all, 80% of the people that sign on the dotted line with network marketing are women, and yet you do not see women in leadership. And that's why I can't retire. This is my laboratory. Now, I would be this girl wherever I was, but why not here in a profession where you can elevate someone to have so much influence? That was why it was such a pleasure to speak at Eric Worre's event, The Most Powerful Women in Network Marketing. To be honest, that title, I was embarrassed to tell people. I'd say, yeah, I'm speaking at the women's event, but it felt weird to say The Most Powerful Women in Network Marketing. I'm working into that title, but the truth is, I want other women to step into their personal power. And I think as more and more women and the rise of the feminine, you know, in my book, I talk about Martians and Venusians, and people from Venus are Venusians that are building with their hearts and care deeply, deeply, deeply about the person in front of them. This is when our industry is going to take off. If we care about more about the money than the people, the industry will stay, well, it's not small, it's massive, but it won't grow at the rate that it could grow. If we elevate women and allow them and encourage them to be on stage more, the great profession will grow faster. So my goal, my journey is to pull women up on stage in this industry, to shine the light on them and say, let's go. And men, I have some of the finest men in my business that I have ever known, the men that stick around and figure this thing out and build from their hearts and develop that feminine side. So as the feminine, you know, rises in the profession of network marketing, then I think it'll spill out into every other part of the world. I really, really do. In every part of business. Honestly, I wish my title was Business, The View from Venus, but network marketing appears to be where I have my influence right now. So I hope that answered your question. I believe network marketing is going to completely explode in the next decade. And I'm just excited to be a part of that explosion.
Do you want to know the foolproof follow-up formula or three elements of fast-growing organizations or my co-market recruiting secrets? You can get these $47 courses along with all my other $47 trainings for only $1 by taking a 7-day trial to MLM Nation Insider. Go to MLMNationInsider.com for the special trial offer. Again, MLMNationInsider.com for the special $1 trial. As we go towards the end of the show, Carrie, some really quick questions to pick your brain. And
yes.
One of them is, what is one of your favorite success quotes that motivates you?
Your business will never be bigger than you are. I love that one. Don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better. That's Jim Rohn. Don't wish it were easier. Wish that you were better. That's what I've done my entire life. I figured I can be better. I can do it better. I can get better. I'm not going to take that failure. I'm going to turn it into a win. So I love that. I, of course, you know, Marianne, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
What is one habit that's helped you become successful?
One is what habit? Oh, consistency. Consistency. And one habit I have is that if I don't feel it, if I wake up in the morning and I don't feel it, I put on a piece of music that inspires me. I move the lymph by exercising. I move my body. And if you don't move your body, how on earth is your mind going to feel good? We need endorphins. You're either going to use drugs or endorphins to feel great. And I use I use a movement to get inspired. So sometimes I'll turn on music and sometimes I'll dance at the same time, and that's accomplishing both.
Do you have any specific morning rituals, morning routines to get you into that peak state?
Absolutely. First thing I do is wake up, take my dog out, and look up at the stars and the sky and the solar system. I've always, literally my entire way to the top of my company, whether I could see the moon or not, I knew it was there. And so I would constantly say, whether I could see the sun or not, I knew it was there. Just like whether I could see that I had made my top rank in my company didn't mean it wasn't there. I just couldn't see it yet. Or I could see it, but I couldn't see it that moment, just like the sun, the moon, and the stars. So I'm out there every morning. Then I come into my office with my dog. I sit on my green couch, and I pull out whatever I'm reading to inspire me. And I'm just going to make an admission right here. I've never read the Bible. I'm 54 years old. And I just decided, you know, it's something that everybody ought to know about. It's just something that everybody ought to know. Why not? So I've been reading the Bible now for a month every single day. And if I'm not reading that, I'm reading some Wayne Dyer. I'm reading some Carolyn Mace. I absolutely love Carolyn Mace, M-Y-S-S. I read different things than, you know, I've read John Maxwell. I've read Eric Worre, T. Harv Eker, Millionaire Mind, you know, John Maxwell. I'm a big, big, big reader. So I read every single day for 30 minutes. I'm always, always putting the good stuff in my brain, because if you don't put good thoughts in, it's going to fill up with weeds. And we have to weed and take care of the 6 inches of garden between our ears. We've got to take out the nasty stuff that tries to take root and grow there.
I like that. Weeds. That's a really good analogy. Really good. What's the best piece of advice you ever received, Carrie?
Gosh, the best piece of advice I ever received. Probably along the lines of, don't worry about the judgment of others, that any judgment anybody has on you is only a judgment on themselves. And when I understood that, it became so much easier. And another thing is that not everybody's going to like you. You know, not everybody's going to agree with you, and that's okay. I spent my entire life trying to make everybody like me. My third book is called, you know, My Journey Through the Window of the Woman Next Door. I looked into the homes of every other woman. I thought their kids were perfect. Their turkeys were perfect. Their husbands were perfect. Their marriages were perfect. And today I know that nobody's perfect. And I guess I would say that stop worrying about the judgment of others and work on yourself. You know, don't point your fingers outward. When you're pointing out, there are so many, you know, three fingers pointing right back at you. So I suppose it would be something along those lines.
Do you have a favorite prospecting tool? Say you have a prospect who's interested. He's a qualified prospect. Do you send them to online video? Do you sit down with them, a webinar? What do you like to use?
You know, in my company, well, I always use myself because honestly, people are buying you. So I use a compliment. In fact, if I had to say my single biggest tool in network marketing, it would be on my ability to connect with people and to use an effective and a very, very true compliment, a genuine compliment. So I use authenticity, empathy, and compliments and questions. Those are my tools in this industry because truly, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm. And I would say that I use Zoom all the time because my business is all over the world.
Hey, that was one of the best answers we got. I got to write that down. What are those tools you use? You said compliments?
I use compliments.
Yep.
Questions.
Yep.
Empathy.
Yep.
And authenticity.
That is really good.
If you're standing in front of someone and you're yapping and saying all this stuff and you are not being you, they're like, I don't know why everything she says is sounding good, but for whatever reason, I don't trust her. I'm not with her. I'm not feeling her. I'm not feeling like I want to join her. It's because I wasn't being real. If you are real and you are vulnerable and authentic, people feel you and they want more of what you're offering.
Really good. Do you have a favorite online resource like Dropbox or Evernote or favorite app on your phone that you could recommend?
Yes, Periscope. I've been using Periscope. I've been using Facebook Live. I've been using Zoom. I use Zoom all the time because it's a quick, easy meeting that anybody can do. Periscope is such fun because people really do want to know what you're up to, and you can get on and get off, and it stays there for 24 hours. Facebook Live, I know, is really good as well. I'm learning that. And I use Facebook all the time. You know, I want people to know. I use Facebook so people can know my heart. I don't take pictures of myself, millions of pictures of myself. I think we really need to up level or to really, really upgrade what we're posting. It should be about others. It should be a way of uplifting the people that come to your site. It's not about you and what you're doing and what you're eating necessarily. I mean, some of that's fun, but we should be using Facebook to inspire.
Aside from your books, what's one book you could recommend to ML Nation?
My book is The Greatest Networker in the World by John Milton Fogg, I think it is.
Yep, that's it. That's one of the most recommended books.
That is my favorite. Another one is It's Not About You, and that's Bob Berg, B-E-R-G. I love that yellow book. Unbelievable book.
And ML Nation, I know you love audio because you're listening to the show. So if you haven't read it, you can get an amazing free audiobook at MLMNationBook.com. That is MLMNationBook.com.
And Simon,
yes,
just so you know this, my audiobook will be out at Amazon, my audio, in about a week. And I think a lot of people, you know, so I've had so many people order my book and they say, oh gosh, Carrie, I'm getting to it. Oh my gosh, I'm on chapter one. That is amazing. Unless you are a total reader, so many people are asking me for the audio because we're just all so busy, you know?
Yeah, so definitely get that. And by the time this goes live, I mean, we're recording it a couple weeks early. ML Nation, if you're listening to this, you can get that audiobook, and we will link that on the show notes as well. So definitely check out Carrie's audiobook, The View from Venus. So Carrie, here's the last question, the million-dollar question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's the million-dollar question. Imagine you had to start all over again, and you knew no one. So you didn't even know Gordon, didn't know your husband, didn't know your kids, but yet all your current knowledge, skills, and wisdom. So you're kind of like an alien that went to another planet and they spoke English. You knew no one. What's the first thing you do to find prospects, or the first place you go to find prospects and build an MLM business from scratch?
Such a good question. You know what? I like to go where the fish are. Now, you can go out into the world, into Starbucks, and you're going to find everybody. But let me tell you, if you go where people are improving themselves, you know, I recently took a class called Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women with Alison Armstrong, and I could have recruited the whole room if I wanted to. I recently went to Optimum Health Institute in San Diego, California, and people are eating well and taking care of their bodies, and I could have recruited the entire place because they're all into bettering themselves. You know, when you go to Eric Worre's event, I know that's network marketing, but of course, people are bettering themselves. Go where people are trying to better themselves and looking at their own shadow work and finding out, you know, what is keeping them from their greatness. So you can go out into the regular world, or you can go to the world of people that are looking to improve. And if you find people that are looking to improve, they're going to be way more open to what you are sharing. You're looking for people that are open at the top. And I don't know if you have time for my M&M story, but maybe not. It's in my book.
So ML Nation, definitely go get Carrie Dickey's book. You get to hear the audiobook or read about her MLM story. Network marketing, The View from Venus, and we'll have that in the show notes page. Carrie, as we wrap up, any last words of advice? And then what's the best way our listeners can connect with you?
Your listeners, probably the best place for me right now would be Facebook, Carrie Dickey. Or Carrie Crane Dickey, C-R-A-N-E is my maiden name. I'm working on some stuff and I'm getting better. And I would say that technology, because I'm a little bit of an older woman at 54, I should say a mature woman. Technology didn't come naturally to me. So that's where to connect. And what was the other part of your question?
Any last words or advice?
Yes, non-attachment. I'm so glad I got the opportunity to say that. Non-attachment. Do what you do every single day with love in your heart, and do not be attached the results. It's not about you. It's always about the person sitting in front of you. They're either ready or they're not. They're either looking or they're not. Do not take anything personally. There's a book out there called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. He says, do not be attached. He says, do not take anything personally. Always do your best.
MLM Nation, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And today, you've been hanging with Carrie Dickey. So keep up the momentum and go to MLMNation.net and type in Carrie, that's C-A-R-R-I-E, C-A-R-R-I-E, at the search bar. And the show notes, the links to Carrie's books will be right there. In order to be successful in network marketing, you must help others. So Carrie, thanks again for sharing your valuable time with MLM Nation. We are grateful to you, and we appreciate you for having a positive impact on millions of distributors worldwide. Thank you again so much, Carrie, and God bless you.
Thank you, Simon Chen. Have a great day.
Top earners know how to recruit. Learn to sponsor at my free sponsoring workshop webinar. It's offered a few times a day, so no matter what time zone you're in, you can attend. Go to sponsoringworkshop.com to register. Again, it is sponsoringworkshop.com. MLM Nation, what an amazing, amazing show from Carrie Dickey. Amazing woman. Really, really incredible. We got a look. This is a recap review. I'm not going to say it's quick because it's going to be a little longer one. It's because there's so many good golden nuggets there. First thing is go to MLNation.net, put in Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, and then go look for the show notes. Connect with her. All the nuggets of wisdom that she shared will be on there. The link to her book. Go get that book, Network Marketing, The View from Venus. It's on Amazon. It's on the link there. Go right on the show notes page. So let's go to the highlights here. Number one is, if it's up to me, it's up to me. You gotta make it happen, right? Look at the attitude. When you see top earners, just don't copy what they do, but copy how they think. That's one of the things my mentor taught me. Copy how they think. Not just what they do. You know, Carrie stepped out of her comfort zone. She left her hometown out in Denver and went to, Southern California just to get outside because she knew if she didn't leave, she'd always kind of be where she was stuck. So she threw herself outside there, out into the fire. And that fire eventually led her to network marketing. And there's so many other things here. I'm going to go through the notes right now. And look for people with a spring in the step. Look for people with energy, right? Energy. If you fail, it doesn't work out. You're failing forward. Failing forward. And, you may say, wow, she's a seven-figure earner. I didn't even mention that on the show. She's a seven-figure earner. But it took her 23 years to get there. You say she joined her company since 2010. It didn't take her 6 years. 23 years of mistakes, right? But the thing that really turned her around was when she started, it was her inner work. She worked on her inside. So I'm going to ask you, MLM Nation, what do you need to work inside? Inside of it, what do you need to work on? Because that is what is going to, because people buy you ultimately, right? The best tools, I'm going to skip, this is one of the best answers. Out of how many shows have we done? Almost 190 something shows. The best answer is the best tools, she says, is the compliments. Be genuine, be authentically interested in people. Make yourself vulnerable. Your compliments, the questions you ask, your empathy, your authenticity, those are the best prospecting tools. Care about the others. Have non-attachment. Don't worry about the results because it's not about you. Carrie used to be worried about her and she got nowhere. And if you read her book, she shares her journey. She's come out with a second book, too, The Journey of Venus, her journey, her struggles, her personal problems she had through. But it's only when she realized it was not about her that things turned around. And you have to work on yourself. She shared that she reached to the top in 1 year and 5 days in the company in 2008. But she wasn't big enough herself, and she kind of lost it all, right? But in 2010, when she got started with her current company, and then she reached the top in 22 months, by then she had grown. She was a different person. This is after she had a life coach. Again, tells you how important coaches are. She had a life coach, and she grew as a person, and she was able to maintain that spot. And it's similar to you hear people who win the lottery, they lose it all. Because why? Because they still have a poverty mindset. Right? So you can make all the money you can in network marketing, but you're still going to lose it. A lot of, there are people who make money, but it's luck. Sometimes it could be lucky. Sometimes if you work hard enough, you get lucky, you can make a lot. But ultimately, what keeps makes you wealthy is interior, working on yourself. Go get, again, I mentioned this again, go get Kerry Dickey's book, very good stuff. I'm going to share a little bit more, you know, a couple of things that she talked about here. You know, one of the biggest fears, she quoted Marianne Williamson, is your biggest fear is being afraid to be great. Our deepest fear is we are powerful beyond our means. And I admit that, you know, when I shared that on my anniversary episode 157, how when we started ML Nation, you know, approaching Danny Johnson, I was a little scared. I was like, what would happen? You know, not scared that she would say no. Like, what would happen if she said yes? How would I do the interview? Would I be nervous? Would I stutter? Would the internet connection drop? Would the phone line break? You know, we're scared of success. And we start visualizing all these things are fantasies. We start thinking about things that don't even matter. Right? So work on yourself. Think about what the fears are. Now, let me go over one last thing here that's so good. It's a two-minute story. Keep it short. Your two-minute story must initiate internal dialogue with that prospect. That prospect, it must be something they can relate to. You know, can they relate to that story? Maybe one of your struggles, right? That's why, you know, when I teach in my effective presentation forum, when you're talking about your story, don't just talk about successes. People can't relate to the success. They can relate more, spend more time talking about your struggles, your challenges, than when you became successful. Then, or how other people are successful. People can't relate to that. They can relate to your struggles. So, quick formula. Here's the breakdown, right? What did you do? What was your? Here's the 2-minute story that Kerry talks about. And you can, again, go more, learn more by reading her book. What did you do? What was your life like? What were your struggles? Number two, how did you come across MLM? Number three, what grabbed you? And number four, what was the hope? Because ultimately, we're not selling products and business. We're selling hope. Because everyone out there is hoping for something. And they need it. They need to hear from you. Okay, they need to learn about, because you have something that can help change their lives. MLM Nation, I know you can be great. I know you can be great. I know you can be all be powerful. So visualize, right? Work on the internal. Because once you work on the internal, everything changes. And listening to something like this is very inspiring. And one of the things that she did was listen to Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, Dennis Whaley. You know, plug yourself in self-development. Be around positive people, because that changes you. Anyway, awesome, awesome show, Kerry Dickey. I can go on and on. I don't want to talk too long. And it's just inspiring, too. Like, she lived on half a tuna sandwich and drink a carton of milk because she didn't have much money. You know, that is just talk about desire, you know. And then every time she got rejected, it just made her stronger. Because remember, this is a process. So if you're struggling out there, hey, you could be the next Kerry Dickey, right? You could be it's a journey, right? And I always share that most MLM distributors fail because they quit too early. But almost every distributor stays long enough become very, very successful, because MLM is just a game. It's just a formula. Once you know the right moves and what the rules, what to do, you get it. And it took Kerry Dickey a while, but she's way beyond, you know, very, very successful now. And she would definitely admit, like, when she first started in 1993, way more successful than she ever thought she would be. But that was the thing that held her back. But once she destroyed those beliefs, she worked on an inner game. The mindset, that's when she really experienced success. So thank you again, Kerry Dickey, for this amazing episode. And I guess maybe I'm not so energetic or talk as fast as normal, because I think it's very emotional. It's very, very, I'm very touched by her story. Very touched by her story. So I can't be like, you know, very super excited, fired up Simon Chan here. I'm more of a more empathetic and emotional now. Because it's just an incredible story, very, very inspiring. And the last thing is, if you can love this, you can love something else, right? I love the way she shared that with prospects. We could always love something, be passionate about something. So MLM Nation, definitely connect with Kerry Dickey. Go get her book. And if you like these episodes, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. They mean a lot to our team. And share this with others. This is an awesome episode to share with people, especially women leaders. And Kerry Dickey, we didn't even talk about that. She has a huge vision to help women. You know, that's a whole nother thing. We can talk about, do an entire episode about that, and how she wants to elevate the woman in the industry. You know, just really, really cool lady there. Definitely connect with her. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And ML Nation, remember, we're in the profession to help others. So go out there and have a positive impact on someone's life today. God bless you all.
Thank you so much for joining us today on MLM Nation. Head over to MLMNation.net for full recaps of every show, our training articles, and helpful resources. Your MLM success is waiting for you. So prepare to take off.